Thanks for listening to the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weeknight, 10 p.m. to 2 a.m. Eastern, 7 to 11 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every night on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Hello, Fox Sports Radio. Welcome inside the Slide Over Baby Hour. Jason Smith Show with my best friend, Mike Harmon.
I'm an ass man.
Hey, 100%. We're going to head to Vegas coming up in a few minutes, get all the latest on the big lines. Hey, college football this weekend, we're getting our first look at the Big Ten. What is Todd Furman, our Vegas insider? You see him all the time on FS1's Lock It In. We get to him. We have a big story out of the NFL coming your way in a couple of minutes. But just really quick on the World Series here, Mike. You know, we watched the Dodgers win tonight. No one's surprised. All right, the Dodgers come in with Walker Buehler, and they knock Charlie Morton out of the game in the fifth inning. They do all their damage with two outs, two strikes, what we've seen from the Dodgers for the past few years. And there's nothing that watching this World Series, it doesn't tell me that we're going to be celebrating a Dodgers World Series championship. It could be Sunday night. It could be Tuesday night. But I just see it. I don't see a way where the Rays can beat this team three out of the next four games. I just don't see how they're going to do it. Their pitching doesn't match up. You're going to get Buehler in another game. You're hopefully going to get the good Kershaw if you're the Dodgers. It's hard for me to see that for the Rays when this lineup comes in, and Charlie Morton's a pretty decent pitcher. You know, look, he pitched four innings in the clinching World Series game for the Astros a couple of years ago, and the Dodgers got rid of him, and that was it. This game was never in doubt once you got to the fifth inning. It was Dodgers were going to win, and Walker Buehler's mowing them down, and I think that's where we're going to wind up here.
Yeah, I think it's just a matter of time, right? I mean, you got your best. Blake Snell can't pitch every night. Morton, who had been unhittable in the ALCS, Dodgers exacted their revenge. I can't read a lot of the tweets that made their way into my timeline from friends around our Fox Sports Radio extended family and friends in the media that are lifelong Angelinos, because they really got after Morton really, really in a vile way in some respects. So not safe for air. You can go search those out on your own time. But revenge on the minds. And we talk about this lineup, Mookie Betts playing so well, the relentlessness, and really just adding an all-round game to it, whether it's Dave Roberts, whether it's the front office and analytics taking over, the fact that you're stealing bases, the fact that you're calling for a squeeze play. I really was hoping we'd get more squeeze into the music selections, Teicher. Come on, you're better than that.
TJ, not everybody watching the game with black coffee in bed like we are, TJ.
Nicely done. But yeah, so the idea that you're also kind of changing up who you've been and your identity, because that's been one of my big criticisms of the Dodgers, even in regular seasons past. Yes, it all gets to the big playoff runs and third World Series in 4 years, but it's always just been when we're watching it on a game-to-game basis, and you and I doing some work for our L.A. affiliate, AM 570 L.A. Sports, where they're celebrating being two games away, we would have to go, and you're breaking down the games of the night before, and it'd be like, well, situational hitting, maybe a bunt every now and again. We talk about the bullpen management, all of those things. And here, World Series, suddenly you flip the script just enough. Right, just enough. And that bullpen game, much, much maligned and something that, you know, I'm still not a fan of. But will it end up paying off in the end? Probably, because the Dodgers are just that good front to back and have their two horses. I can't wait to see Clayton Kershaw take the mound again, right? The theory testing at its maximum in what could be a closeout game, depending on what you get from Urias tomorrow night.
The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon live from the Geico Studios. 877-99 on Fox is the phone number. So we'll have more on the World Series coming up in a little bit, including a really weird connection, Mike, that I found out is I even have a stranger connection to the World Series and one of the players who played tonight than it even was a couple hours ago.
Really?
Yes.
This is now escalating.
Stranger. Yes, it is. It is completely escalating.
Stranger Things comes to Fox Sports Radio.
It is. Turn around. Look at what you said. Sorry, I was doing a never-ending story thing. It was from season three. So we're going to have that coming up in a few minutes. But, look, Antonio Brown signs with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers today. And this is a really big deal because we talked about it the beginning of this week that Antonio Brown was going to find his way back into the NFL. And here it is, not with the Seahawks. Look, Russell Wilson's been pushing for Antonio Brown to get in. Oh, let's AB's come back. We got to have AB. But now he goes to Tampa Bay. And there's two thoughts on AB. And my first is this, is that it really is – it's disappointing to always get a reminder of where you're at. Like, you like to think things progress and things go forward and we make adjustments. Here's Antonio Brown, who all he has done was not make headlines the last 4 months. That's all he's done. And I didn't think he could do it. I give him credit for it because I didn't think he could go 4 days without making headlines. But in the last 4 months, he has not made a headline. And here he is back in the NFL when clearly this is someone with so much legal issues and he's involved in 6 lawsuits of the assault and sexual assault variety. He's had bizarre behavior that has resulted in this. He has insulted the NFL. He has found his way off of 3 teams within the last 16 months. And all he had to do, not that he had to figure this out, all he had to do was just not do anything for 4 months. And here he is back in the league. I mean, that really is disappointing, where all it's been is just, hey, I don't tweet. I haven't put up any crazy-ass videos, and I've done that for 4 months, and now here I am back in the National Football League. It's always a reminder that, hey, no matter what you do, even if there's still an investigation going on and you're accused of some bad things and there's video evidence of you doing some bad things, you can find your way back in the league. Just don't do anything for 3 months. Just don't get on social media, because that's really what it is. He is back in the league because he has not posted anything on social media. That's why he's back in the league, and that's a little disappointing.
Well, I think when we take the larger view of it, you know, that if you just go down to brass tacks, yeah, that it's the talent always wins out over trouble, right? And Antonio Brown still seen as a commodity. That's where we're at. I'd be curious from the legalese of all the different suits. And it's not just one. So as soon as you start getting into multiples of this, you know, you also start saying, all right, let's look at patterns. Let's look at behaviors. And we've seen video clips that are disturbing, social media interactions that are mind-numbing and disturbing. And it's a question of over these couple of months, and look, you even brought Tony Robbins into the fray. To try to talk through things. So that's
Brady had Tony Robbins go talk to Antonio.
So that's a whole other thing. Said walk through the fire after, you know, all the cryotherapy burns on his feet. No, too soon.
Mm-hmm. No, it's all right.
Either way,
it's okay.
Yeah, walk over the coals. But the idea being is there more to the story that the NFL is satisfied, or is it the NFL being ham-handed as we've seen in the past? The answer is I don't know. The history would say that, you know, I can't give them the benefit of the doubt, right? Given the way some similar circumstances have been handled in years past. And as we know, if you're not actually, it goes back to the old NFL to some degree, right? If you're not physically incarcerated, then it becomes a, all right, can we argue you should be on? Have you protected the shield enough? Can you get past transgressions? And you could look at a number of guys who've done reckless, terrible things, who then went on to play and have long, extended careers, get second big shots at money, at opportunities, and then career rehabilitation. Does Antonio Brown deserve that? All of these are questions that are being, you know, hand-wringing and people writing their 1,000, 5,000, 5-minute videos, you know, all of those things are coming together. And now it's just, I want to hear from the league as to how they came to this determination that this was enough punishment and there's nothing more, even though we haven't heard of any of these cases being closed in any respect.
Twitter at How About a Fresca, Mike at Swollen Dome. So that's part one of it now, is that he's got back in. Okay, but now we're going to be talking about because he's going to be playing in the NFL again. He will be fine with Tampa Bay. He'll be fine, right? I get why Tampa did it. They have injuries at wide receiver. They, Tom Brady has pushed for him, and it's crazy the number of people that have pushed for him. But he'll be okay. But how long is it really going to last for him? You know, that's my thing with it, and it's always been, how long? He didn't even make it to the regular season with the Raiders. He made it one game with the Patriots where he wanted to go all along, and he couldn't find his way more than one game because I got to get in a group text and talk about potentially going after someone who was accusing me of sexual assault. I don't believe that is he going to make it more than a month? How long is it going to last for him? Remember, a month for Antonio Brown is like 2.5 years for everybody else. This guy lives his life really fast. So if you can say, oh, well, he can make it over. I'm going to say if I gave you the over-under at 5 weeks when he plays his first game, I'm going to take the under. Because there's no way he goes more than 2 weeks, not catching enough passes. He's silent. He wakes up on Wednesday. He's upset with the team for some slight, either real or imagined. Remember, this is a guy who on Monday would tweet out, I'm done with the NFL, this ridiculous league. It's all these things. I'm never playing again. And then Wednesday, it's, hey, what am I doing? What am I doing not to get back in the NFL? I really want to continue my career. This is who he is. The guy has some kind of issue that prevents him from being able to just go play football, right? And we can talk about his bizarre behavior all you want, but that's part of it. How long do you really think Antonio Brown's going to make it? And is he going to stay with them all the way through the playoffs and into however far as they go in the Super Bowl? I'll be the most surprised guy in the world if that happens. 5 weeks is a long time. I mean, really, it's like 2.5 to 3 years for everybody else. For Antonio Brown, 3 days is like a year. So let's say he's a good soldier for 2 weeks. All right, that's a long time for him. That's going to be a long time to stay away from social media and things that happen. That's going to be a long time. So if I say 5 weeks, I'm still taking the under.
Yeah, I'll take the over here that perhaps he has been humbled. Something Russell Wilson said and kind of putting his neck out. So you have two of the best quarterbacks in the game. Put Brady in wherever that list is, right? We know what he is all time. You decide where you want him for 2020. But you got two guys who are publicly being cheerleaders of his acquisition. For Seattle, he was going to need to split time as a defensive back because even with Jamal Adams coming back, they need help in the secondary. But for the – and obviously that's a tongue-in-cheek joke about where Seattle is. But for Tampa Bay, Tom Brady – clearly liked his work ethic and what he brought to the table in New England, but when additional things happened, they had to wash their hands of you, of him, and move on. So I'll take the over that maybe there's a humbling, there's a desperation in the positive side of knowing that what was once a Hall of Fame bound career, talking about him in terms of the all-time greats, is getting torn asunder, not to mention the need for another payday. I don't know. Hopefully he's gotten help, right? Because what you described in terms of that vacillation between I love everything and I hate everything, you got to find some middle there. And I don't know if that's what Tony Robbins was brought in to do, or I say it, raising my hand. I don't know what that was an odd insertion to the story as you go, but that vacillation of feeling worthless to I'm the greatest in the world, why is everybody screwing me over? You hope you get someone who helps you understand, and you find some medium, you find some peace, because clearly we got concerned for him on the show. Others may have dismissed it and just cast him aside. The other charge is just so serious that you're just trying to make heads or tails of all of it and see if those can be resolved. But, yeah, I'll give him the over. And Tom Brady, Rob Gronkowski, and the band of Merry Men will be enough to keep him happy enough catching footballs.
Twitter at How About a Fresca. Mike gets swollen dome. The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon live from the Geico Studios. I'll still 5 weeks. I'll still take the under. I'll be so surprised. I mean, you will. I will be so incredibly surprised. Coming up, my weird connection to one of the players in the World Series, cool. which I just found out about tonight. Plus, we head to Vegas and find out what the big numbers are this weekend. College football and the Big Ten is back. Big news from the NFL. Keep it right here. Fox.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific.
Fox Sports Radio, the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon live from the Geico Studios. The Dodgers 2 wins away from the World Series. The Big Ten is back. No one better to talk to than our man in Vegas. You can check him out every day on Fox Sports 1's Lock It In. He is the lead actor on the show. Our insider in Vegas, Todd Furman. Todd, what's happening, bud?
Not a whole heck of a lot, gentlemen. How are you guys this fine Friday evening?
Well, we're talking about the World Series, and we're wondering if I wanted to bet odds on the Dodgers winning it all, would you even give them to me? I mean,
no, you'd be able to get a price. You'd have to lay a decent-sized number right now with them taking a commanding 2-1 series lead. You'd be talking about a price in that $4 to $5 range, but ultimately we've seen the Rays bounce back. I mean, I think a lot of people wrote them off for dead after Game 1. We know the rotation doesn't set up quite so nicely with Ryan Yarbrough getting the start tomorrow, but at the same time, let's see if Julio Urias can repeat the performance of what we saw in his 3-inning save previously. I don't think the series is over by a long shot, but Walker Buehler did a lot to suck the life out of the Rays earlier this evening.
So as we go forward, World Series MVP odds, how frequently do we see pitchers historically? And I think Walker Buehler, the guy that we've all got our eyes on.
Well, I think if you look at the series potentially playing out, and Buehler only has one start for 6 innings, it's going to be real hard to make a strong, compelling case for him to win the award. Hypothetically, if the Dodgers were to win it in 5 and Clayton Kershaw went out there, went 7 strong, 6-7 strikeouts, you'd have to think that the Lifetime Achievement Award could work in 22's favor. And as far as some of the offensive capabilities, we've seen a different Dodger really carry the baton the entire postseason. So this feels, at least through 3 games, as wide open an MVP award as you could ever imagine.
Now, speaking of wide open, if I wanted you to give me odds, say, okay, I want odds that in 2 years the Jets take Graham Mertz with a number one overall pick in the NFL draft, what are you giving me?
If you're thinking that he's going to somehow replicate the career that Russell Wilson has put forth in the NFL, the Illini defense are going to make a lot of Big Ten quarterbacks look pretty good, because Graham didn't have to do a whole heck of a lot. He did have the nice completion to Ferguson in the latter portion of the second quarter. But I think when you look at this Badgers team, they're much more dynamic with Mertz under center than they are with Jack Cohn. The one thing that stood out to me today, and of course you don't want to take too much away from the first game of the season, they don't look to have an explosive running back capable of replicating what Jonathan Taylor gave to them, Ron Dane before him, and some of that dimension. So it'll be interesting to see how this offense looks when they step up in class and competition.
Well, Lovie Smith couldn't rally him here. The only points off a fumble return in a big defeat. But the Big Ten return, does it give a little bit of buzz to the college game and the betting handles there in Vegas?
It definitely will. When you have a marquee program playing in prime time in a competitive top 25 matchup like we're going to have tomorrow night with Michigan on the road against Minnesota, that definitely works in the favor of the sports books. And while it's not big in terms of national relevance, having some of those late night games in the Mountain West definitely creates a little bit of liability and action for the books. And the fact that Fox Sports 1 will be a prominent player for those Mountain West games, you have to imagine that Air Force San Jose State tilt that otherwise would be meaningless if it was played at 11 o'clock in the morning Pacific time suddenly takes on added significance with everybody that's going to use Air Force on the money line tying it into bets for Sunday or a way to try and get out of Dodge for a wayward Saturday.
All right, now before we get to the NFL, give me your honest opinion. Okay, don't lie to me. Don't make me feel better. Tell me the truth how you feel about this. Syracuse is a 46.5 point underdog to Clemson.
They're not winning the game outright, Smith,
Listen, if we were talking about winning the game outright, why'd we talk to you? We have the number. That's why we talk to you. 52-13, Syracuse covers. I mean, 46.5 points. Which side of this game do you like?
There's only one way for me to look, and it would be taking the points with the orange here. When you've seen numbers this large in conference play, typically the underdogs offer decent value, relatively speaking. We saw Clemson click on all cylinders last week, so I think people go, wait, if they beat Georgia Tech 73-7, they can do it again. And while this Syracuse team is clearly the worst addition we've seen under Dino Babers, you're not going to catch me laying a price that large with the Tigers. This doesn't get them style points. It doesn't help Trevor Lawrence's Heisman Trophy candidacy. This is a glorified scrimmage on a Saturday taking place in Death Valley, and they'll go out there, they'll do what they need to do, and we'll just hope this game is a little bit more competitive than maybe what we see from the Jets against the Bills on Sunday.
Well, there you go, the Jets.
It'll
and the Bills.
Be a little bit more. Well, I don't know. Now I can't even say that for certain. Can't even do it.
Well, the Jets are 0-6 against the spread, as are the Dallas Cowboys to this point in the season. Can you make a spread large enough for the Jets?
Well, I mean, I think when you're looking at the number, we've actually seen some money come in on the Jets this weekend. Obviously, with Sam Darnold being upgraded, it changes the dynamic from unwatchable to well below average for what we're going to see from Gain Green. But this is a Buffalo team coming off of two losses. They've struggled defensively, and it's always difficult to lay double digits with a team that you're not quite sure can get stops, even if it is against the Jets. But the real fun comes next weekend when the Jets play the Kansas City Chiefs, and we're talking about KC North of a 3-touchdown favorite.
All right, what are your best bets in the NFL this week?
I really like the Lions, to be quite honest, on Sunday. I think this is an Atlanta Falcons team that got their first win, a monkey off their back with an all-in effort for their head coach that was fired. You look at Detroit, they're getting healthier defensively, still not going to be at full strength in the secondary, but a homecoming of sorts for Matthew Stafford and DeAndre Swift, and I really believe those two guys will relish the opportunity to play a stone's throw from where they went to college in Athens. And Monday night, I think you're talking about points at a premium. The Bears defense has had Jared Goff's number in a couple of the previous meetings, and when you look at Nick Foles and what the Bears can do, if Jalen Ramsey is able to neutralize Allen Robinson, I don't know where the Bears go for offense. For me, that has all the makings of a 24-10 type football game. I'll go under the total of 45.5.
Yeah, the curiosity for that one, that it was a 6-point game. I'm like, the Rams are given 6? Jared Goff's been awful, 0 touchdowns, 5 interceptions, and that's not just, hey, Mike lived in and grew up in Chicago. That's just based on what we've seen from the Bears defense, doesn't make a whole lot of sense. But then I look at this whole slate for Week 7, Todd, and there's a lot of games that require some more advanced math, I think, than we have in past weeks. Like, the gut just doesn't have a lean in a few of them.
Well, I think when you look at the Bears, I mean, this offense clearly has not exactly been good. Nick Foles may ultimately grasp and give the Bears at least a passable, viable, you know, aerial attack. But for right now, it's nowhere close to where it needs to be. And when you talk about crisscrossing the country, a Rams team that was embarrassed by the San Francisco 49ers and Kyle Shanahan's scheme, I think this is an important game for them to prove that, hey, look, we may be 4-2, but we can do more than beat teams in the NFC East and be somewhat relevant. So I ultimately think Aaron Donald provides a nightmare matchup. He was more or less an afterthought last week, and playing in prime time, he may be living in Nick Foles' backside. And when you look at the Bears, the fact that they were unable to get a ground game going against Carolina's defense is a bit alarming. I mean, yeah. David Montgomery wasn't even able to get to 60 yards. If you're one-dimensional against the Rams, knowing how good they are on the defensive line, I don't think that bodes well to even get a cover, let alone talk about an outright win.
He's on Twitter at Todd Furman. That is at Todd Furman, former odds maker at Caesars. You can check him out. Fox Sports 1's Lock It In Monday through Friday. He is the lead actor on the show. Todd, as always, buddy, appreciate it. We'll talk to you next week, my friend.
Always a pleasure, gents. Enjoy the football this weekend.
Good times. Full slates. Let's go.
Great stuff there from Todd Furman. A very strange connection to the World Series that I have, that I was just made aware of tonight. Coming up in 90 seconds. But first,
be sure to catch live editions of The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Tonight in the World Series, Mike, this just gets weirder and weirder. Okay, mm-hmm. Now, I was so awesome because, you know, seeing in the middle of this game.
You were so awesome?
Tampa, no, I said it was awesome. Well, okay. I'm always awesome. I mean, I'm walking around, I'm awesome. Ryan Sheriff came in to pitch an inning for Tampa Bay tonight. And, you know, the Dodgers win the game. He had a clean inning. And I found out he's from Culver City, which, I mean, It's where I live. I mean, it's my town, right? I mean, it's
so
Culver
now he's
City.
Your guy. You're going to claim him guy. Like listen, you have all these other teams.
Listen, LeBron perpetrated a fraud on my city when he didn't go to Blaze Pizza a couple of years ago. So now I can claim Ryan Sheriff, right? He's from Culver City. He went to Culver City schools. It was awesome, right? Oh my God, dude, went to Culver. You know, he's in Culver City. So it's a big deal, and we're all talking about it here. And then I got a text from my daughter's former elementary school teacher. And Miss Elliott texts me and says, oh, my God, I know this guy. My son and him went to school together. And I said, you got to be kidding me. She said, oh, yeah, I've known him for a long time. I'm like, wow, I had no idea. And Miss Elliott, she's an awesome teacher, and she's someone that can tell you about Common Core math and explain it really well, and you'll understand it because, like, you know, normally adults can't understand things like that. She can explain that to you and everything else, and I'm like, wow, I feel like I have an insider now, Ryan Sheriff, because my daughter's former teacher knows him and has known him growing up and known him his entire life. Everything else,
so
I thought that was pretty
cool.
So was
he a jerk growing up? Was he
No, it was a nice kid.
Guy? I mean, what was his deal?
You know, she says he was a nice kid. Well, he was friends with her son, and I've met her son plenty of times. Actually, we saw him at the movies a couple months ago. You know, he says he was a really nice kid. I mean, he's 30 now. I say he's a nice kid. He's 30. But, you know, I'm in my late 40s.
Well, so you're old enough to be 30. His dad.
Well, the thing is, I'm like, boy, I didn't know your oldest son was that old. And she was like, oh, yeah, no, they've known each other for so long, and she's telling me all these things about him. And I said, so did you root for him, or were you rooting for the Dodgers? She says, well, I had to root for him for an inning because I knew him. And I said, ooh, okay, don't tell too many people that. Okay, you live in L.A., don't tell too many people you were rooting for the Rays. I mean, it'll be okay, and I think, but it just that's okay, just tell me. And I say
well, it was
that
only for an inning,
well,
though.
Yeah, but now I just set it out, you know, to everybody. So now everybody knows. So I kind of ruined that for her.
Well, she had a good run.
I did that. She had a good run. She's going to go in on Monday. What do you mean I've been reassigned? What do you mean I have to teach in Tampa now? I don't want to move to Tampa. Oh,
we
great.
Made a trade. We brought in another elementary school teacher.
We brought in a teacher.
And a couple of dry erase boards later.
We traded you for Miss Bunchen. Her name is Giselle. She's going to come in and teach your class, and you're going to go to Tampa. So that's how it's going to work. So this is great. So I've been texting with her all night. She's all excited, everything. I'm like, wow, it's exciting. And then I find out my neighbor down the street, Jessica, who used to babysit Zoe, she goes, oh, my God, I knew him so well. We were so close. She went to high school with him. So I'm going, oh, my God, how do we not have him on the show as our World Series insider?
That's
I'm like, I see
question.
Jessica all the time. I'm like, I see her all the time. Like, how do I not know this? How do you not help me out saying, hey, oh, by the way, you know, this guy pitching in the World Series, hey, I know him. I'm like, well, if you got an email address, he could be our insider.
It would be good to know, I mean, how they've adapted to playing in Texas. Do they think the Dodgers had an inherent home field advantage by just being there the extra week plus? Did the closing the roof tonight because it was windy and such, did that make a difference? I mean, all of those things, very important.
Do you think LeBron James should have gone to Blaze Pizza in Culver City when he said it? I guarantee he's got very pointed thoughts.
That's true.
On that.
Were you standing waiting for him to show up at the pizza place?
Yeah. I mean, now I feel like I'm an insider. Like, I can say I have sources, right? If something
well,
happens
a lot
in the
of
World
guys
Series,
just kind of claim that anyway.
Well, yeah, but I could just.
Some guys have made a career out of that.
But I could just make up anything and say, you know, source that people are going to go, oh, yeah, he knows that teacher, Miss Elliott, who knows Ryan Shaw. Oh, so she's a source.
Again,
okay,
some guys have made a career out of it.
He knows Jessica, who knows Ryan Sheriff. I'm like, okay, now because a source is a source. You know, that's how it goes.
Well, and a horse is a horse, of course, of course.
That's right. So I'll feel
sorry,
like I'll
you opened
like
the door for it. I'm taking it there.
I'll be like that desperate guy, like in the when they show, hey, I just need something, right? I got to keep my job. You got to give me some kind of inside info. You got to give me something here. You really got to give me something. And I was like, I'd be like, come on. Like, all right, well, let me see what I can give. And then I'd probably have to have Miss Elliott on the air, which would be good because then we can talk about things like Common Core math and different things. I could have Jessica
sure.
on the air. She could talk about what Zoe was like to babysit. You know, we can make that work. I think that'd be okay.
Yeah,
we'll trade
but if
that
she
for
starts
information.
Spilling too much dirt, sipping too much tea, there's going to be some problem.
But when you have sources, I think it's always very important to have, no matter where they are, and this would be a really good source.
I think that's a good start. I think if you can infiltrate that clubhouse in Tampa, that'd be a good start.
Twitter and how about a fresca? Mike gets swollen dome. The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon live from the Geico Studios. You know, this reminds me of the time when I found out that one of our other friends went to high school with Dave Roberts. And the Dodger manager, Dave Roberts.
I remember
and I was like,
that, yeah.
Oh my God, okay. So I talked to her and I go, all right. And it was a weird thing where I was going to interview Dave Roberts on AM 570, our flagship station here in LA. And he was going to come on the next day. And I said, she goes, oh yeah, I know Dave. And she started talking about his wife and everything else and all these fun things, blah, blah, blah. And I said, okay. And I said, hey, give me something fun I can bring up with him. She goes, oh, I don't know. I go, no, just give me something fun. I don't want something controversial. Give me something fun that I can bring up. She goes, all right, let me think about it for a second. Then she goes, oh, I got something. I said, all right, what do you have? And I literally take out a bleeping pen to write this down. I go, what do you have? She goes, you know, at the end of high school, it was really surprising because everybody thought he was going to go play football, and he played baseball. I said, that's the scoop you have for me. He thought he was going to go play football, but he went to – that's the scoop. That's just, what kind of scoop is that?
That really isn't
it's not a scoop.
Salacious at all. That's hey, not Dave, winning you any headlines in the newspapers or the blogs of different scribes and people that are covering the city of Los Angeles sports. That's not helping.
Hey, Dave, I heard you were probably going to play football. Instead, you played baseball. And then he does a Trump. This interview's over. You have enough. I'm walking out. I can't answer that question. I can't answer that. These are two hard questions. I can't do it. So now I feel like anytime I say something from the World Series, now it's come with much more gravitas because, you know,
I
may not have a source.
No, and absolutely. It may or may not now.
That's good. And Ryan Sheriff has no idea that this is even going on right now. So there is that. So we'll have to try to make contact with him eventually. I'll just probably get his email address from either Miss Elliott or Jessica. I just got to write that down. 877-99 on Fox, the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon live from the Geico Studios. Also, if you have Common Core questions, we'll take those as well. Coming up next, we make our big upset special picks for this week in college football and the NFL. Keep it right here. You're listening to Fox.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific.
Time now for our upset special picks of the week in the NFL and college football. Mike and I do it every week. I was 1-1 last week, still hovering around 500. Not my best year so far, but it is still young. NFL first, I'm going to go with Carolina getting 8. Over New Orleans. Look, they got a big break today. Michael Thomas is not going to play due to injury. Emmanuel Sanders is ruled out due to a COVID violation that Sean Payton was really hot about. He said, "You got it. We know how he got it. He got it at home." And so you can tell that that's not playing very well right now in New Orleans. But bottom line is Carolina's offense has been pretty good. New Orleans defense has allowed a lot of points. Quarterbacks are having field days against the Saints. Their offense is not quite as quick strike as it was. The Panthers wide receiver core is really deep with more. Robbie Anderson's going to have 100 yards every week now, apparently. Samuel, 8 points is a lot of points. I'm taking Carolina.
I like it. Certainly game-changing, the news of the last 24 hours. Seemed like that suspension was so long ago for Michael Thomas as we get back to this. Green Bay is a 3.5-point favorite on the road at the Planet Houston. I'm looking for Deshaun Watson and company to keep things rolling here. Will Fuller, he's healthy. I'm banging on the table sitting in front of me. You got him. You got Brandon Cooks. You got Darren Fells. You got Opportunity and David Johnson. I expect some points to be scored in this one. And for Aaron Rodgers to make some noise in the passing game, that's all fine and good. But give me Houston at home plus those points.
Look at you. I love Houston the last couple of weeks. You're getting Houston's fun. They're an upset special darling now they got rid of Bill O'Brien.
That's it.
My second game, and I realize I'm going against the team I picked to go to the Super Bowl, but I'm taking the Cardinals getting 5 over the Seahawks. Look, the Seahawks have lived really dangerously the past few weeks. Defensively, they cannot stop anybody throwing the football. Jamal Adams is hurt. Not that he'd be a big help because his strength isn't in coverage anyway. Murray's going to bounce back from an okay day game with a big game. He beat them late in the season last year. Arizona is going to put up a lot of points. It's finally going to be an offense that Seattle can't keep up with for this week. It'll be one of those, hey, adjustment type weeks for Seattle, going, okay, you know, we were undefeated and now we thought things were better. Now we got to realize we got to get back to things, back to basics. Arizona wins on the field, but still, Mike, you know, I'm not going to say no to the 5 points. I'll take the five.
Absolutely. Joe Mixon ruled out for your Cincinnati Bengals, but I like Boyd. I like T. Higgins. I like what the Bengals are cooking this week in the battle for Ohio. Getting 3 points at home. Give me Joe Burrow to make things happen. And I'd be remiss if I didn't take a couple seconds to remember 15 years ago on this night, I was in Chicago watching Paul Konerko hit an iconic grand slam off Chad Qualls.
Wow, look at you.
And then put Sednik with the game winner. Yeah, buddy.
And no reason for this. I mean, this is not an official pick. I mean, unless it comes through. But yeah. If I can't take Syracuse getting 46.5 against Clemson, when can I?
No, you know, that's right.
They've played Clemson tough the past few years. I mean, maybe they lose 50. Like I said, maybe it's 52-13 or 59-13 and I win.
Watching for that late score in the final 2 minutes. And we beat the spread. Yeah!
Twitter it out about a Fresca, Mike at Swollen Dome. Our best of podcast goes up right now. Check it out. Subscribe at iTunes. Wherever you listen to podcasts, you'll get it. Enjoy the games. Jonas Knox is next. Fox.